Every time you look at a pair of scissors, do you think of Psycho Sid and Arn Anderson? We do. So listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea, the Impact Player.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, all right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbucklethrowbacks and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you looking at, the man? Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Woo! Yeah!
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master, the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion and WWE Hall of Famer. And you, monkeys, well, you're listening to Rhea and Choppy on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Bang!
We take you now, ladies and gentlemen, to a Cuban immigrant, an individual who apparently feels as though the streets of America are paved with gold. Here is Razor Ramon.
Ramon. Razor Ramon. I come from the gutter. I know that. I got no education. Who needs it? Look at me. Look at me. Look at the gold. Look at my clothes. I'm a success. I'm coming to the WWF. All I want is what I got coming to me. The world, Chico. Everything in it.
Yo, 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 yo! ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to another edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact player, Mr. Philip G. Rea, and I am, well, I'm not solo tonight because the Chopster is away on business with his fam, so we are going to Skype in our co-host tonight, if this friggin' thing works. Let's see if it works. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me on the line is my buddy, my pal, my homie, my brother from another mother, the host of the Sports Report, Mr. William Morgan. How are you, sir?
How you doing tonight, my friend? Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for stepping in tonight for Choppy. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, man.
Yeah, man. So we'll have a good time tonight. It's been a rough week work-wise. I've been drained, and I'm trying to unpack this apartment. And I was telling Will this morning, it's like a nightmare. But I got booze, and I have a working. You laugh, but when I left you this morning, my audio wasn't right.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was sitting here doing like tech support, me and Shining Wizards Tony, for like 2 hours.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was trying to get my shit right because I was like, oh, if I don't get it right now, I'm not going to be able to get it done tonight. And I really want, you know what I'm saying? I just, for some reason, these settings update themselves every once in a while. And then, and then you lose all your settings. So, of course, I don't write nothing down. I figured I'll just log in. I'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? It didn't work like that. So now I'm like, oh, man. And then I was like, it took me like 2 hours to fix it. And then I watched Nitro again, and I was like, "All right, good. I had some dinner. I said I'm in a good mood." Dr. Doom tried calling me, but I was doing show prep. So Doom, I'm sorry we couldn't chat on the phone today, but he asked me a question, so I'll address that question when we get to the wrestling talk. Has been you, man?
Doing good, man. A little under the weather myself. Got a slight head cold. I've been working nonstop until yesterday, hence the 4-day weekend, and man, it's been rough, but yesterday went good, got a lot of rest, relaxation, today's been good, a lot of rest, a lot of relaxation, so no kids, thank goodness, so hopefully I'll be better and good to go come this weekend, come tomorrow.
Yeah, I am also kid-free until Sunday, so that's going to be fun. Speaking of Sunday, we got a big, big lineup for you guys. We got a lot of wrestling talk now because the internet broke about 2 hours ago. Like, it just fell apart. Like, my phone didn't stop going off with people texting me and messaging me. And then I looked on Twitter and Facebook, and I thought the world ended. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But this Sunday coming up after Surfers, What Are You Reading comic book show at 7 o'clock, we're going to have the pre-show for the WWE TLC event.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be, is Surfer hosting the pre-show? Is that how it's supposed to go down?
Surfer's doing the pre-show, Double H doing the post.
So don't forget to tune into that. And of course, we'll plug Will's stuff and everybody else's stuff at the end of the night. But what else has been going on? I mean, I'm just, you know, I was talking to Will this morning, just watching, listening to a ton of sports because my commute is a little longer now where I moved. I moved like 5 or 7 miles away from where I used to live. So now my commute is a bit longer, which means more downtime on the travel. So I've been listening to a ton of baseball, ton of hockey, and just trying to get by, man. And I needed a day to de-stress. So
yeah.
I did the sports report with you this morning, and then then I just took the day, man. I'm still in my pajamas, so I'm not even sweating it. So I really don't care at this point.
You need a day like that, though, man. You need a day like that, you know?
I think, you know what, dude? It's the hours I keep. Like, it's a 2-hour commute back and forth, so that's 4 hours right there. Then I do a 10-hour shift. So now you're looking at between 14 and 16 hours a day.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I need, like, a day just to, like... And I was up at the crack of ass this morning, making sure these two are out to school and out to work, you know?
Right.
So, like, you can't get a sleeping pattern. You can't sleep in because now you're used to getting up at the crack of ass, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, you're right, though. You do need a day to just to de-stress and desensitize and just and mac out. I tried to – it's funny because I was trying to unpack this morning before I spoke to you. And people like, I have like a huge CD collection. And people are like, how come you don't throw your CDs away? You know, you have them. It took me 25 years to collect these things, right?
Yeah, you don't, so, let something like that go.
Well, I can't. I just can't let it go. So what I did was I bought one of these binders that hold the CDs. Mm. And I put like 400 CDs in this book, in this binder. And I threw all the plastic out. So, except for the John Cena autograph that I got. So my sister got me the John Cena. When the John Cena album came out, she took my nephew to see him, to meet him, like a meet and greet, and he signed a CD for me. He just as a present, they knew I was a wrestling fan. So I found that, and I was like, all right, I can't part with these CDs, man. I mean, I'll back them up to a computer. I can't part with them. So now I'm just downsizing and trying to get rid of stuff that I don't want or... You know, but it's like Christmas because now I'm opening stuff up. Like, oh wow, I was looking for this like 6 months ago. I just can't. You know, moving is like almost like Christmas time because you find stuff that you thought you lost, and then you find stuff you don't want no more. You're like, oh, you replaced it.
Yep.
You have double. Why do I have doubles of this? Like, because I lost one. I couldn't find it. So like, it's been crazy. So it's gonna take me at least a month just to get organized in here, man. So it is what it is. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. We have a ton to talk about. Where do you want to go first? I mean, we have NXT, we have the stuff that went down today, we have, we could do predictions, we could do rundowns, I could do Ring of Honor, because I ordered the pay-per-view on Sunday, last Sunday. So we can do that first if you want.
First thing, if you don't mind, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I think it's a great thing. Great thing. Kurt Angle will be wrestling again, and I think that's the best thing ever.
So, from what I'm reading is there was a viral meningitis scare. Like, I know the Bray Wyatt got it, Bo Dallas got it, Bray's girlfriend JoJo with the fat ass, she got it.
With the fat ass.
And apparently... now Kevin Owens has it, or he was pulled. Or he was pulled from live shows this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on, but now apparently Kurt Angle is going to be covering for. Oh, Roman Reigns is out too. Mm-hmm. So Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Bo Dallas, Fat Ass JoJo, and now Kevin Owens all have this apparent viral meningitis. Which is very, 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 very contagious. Anything viral is basically, and that can travel airborne is basically contagious.
Plus, that's serious, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's serious if it's not treated. If this was 1908, you know, you'd have to lay in bed for a month and get like their version of penicillin. But we've come a long way since then. It's serious if it's untreated. You know, meningitis can paralyze you. You know what I'm saying? If it's not treated, but it's very treatable. So, with antibiotics and with IV antibiotics and fluids and stuff like that. So now this changes the dynamic of the entire card because Bray Wyatt was supposed to fight Finn Balor, and now AJ Styles is going to fight Finn Balor. Apparently, they're going to borrow AJ from SmackDown.
There you go.
Okay, so that's going to be interesting. Because Finn Balor was supposed to fight Sister Abigail, which I'm still confused about. But, you know, I thought Sister Abigail was actually a female, but it's not apparently.
Maybe Finn Balor, the demon versus Bray Wyatt and Sister Abigail, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out. When I figure it out, I'll let you know. And Kurt Angle's going to cover for Roman Reigns in the 5-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. And AJ's fighting Balor. So, you know, this changes the entire dynamic of the pay-per-view this weekend.
It does.
You know, you're getting the two former Bullet Club leaders. They're going to be fighting.
Yep.
Kurt Angle, first time in the ring in 11 years, I think it is, they said.
11 years. Mm-hmm.
So if you're a Kurt Angle person, then you're very excited about this.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what to expect from Kurt Angle. I know. I don't know if he's in ring shape. I don't know if the neck thing is an issue for him. Like, obviously not, because he's been cleared to fight. But if it's that kind of party, then, and if he's back to old form, then you know what? Then we're gonna get it. We're gonna be in for a treat.
Oh yeah.
But now you're throwing him in this 5-on-3, and you're not fighting small guys, man. You're fighting Kane and Braun Strowman, and like, this ain't no, you know, this
ain't no kiddie party.
Well, that and it's no grappling match. It's not a technical wrestling match. It's not one of Kurt's fortes, you know.
Nope.
So there's another dynamic there. Where do you see the appeal? Is it because he's getting back in the ring? I mean, I don't. He's not a brawler, Kurt Angle, you know. So I don't know. Where do you stand on that?
He's a mat tactician, but at the same point, I think they're going to protect him. I don't think you're going to see him in there long. You're probably seeing him in there maybe a short spurt, and just play it safe with him because of his neck injuries. I don't think you'll see a situation to where he goes all out. I just can't see that happening. But I think they'll play it safe. Put him in there, run in, run out. He may even finish the match off with a victory. You never know. But I think they're going to do everything they can to protect him, knowing that, A, he hasn't been in the ring so long, and B, they are worried about the neck condition.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see, to say the least. But it changed the entire landscape of this pay-per-view.
Yep.
You know, so now if you don't have the network and you were on the fence about buying it, now you may want to buy it. Now you may want to see the AJ versus Finn and Kurt Angle back in the fold. You may want to see that. I don't know. I mean, I know I would. If I didn't have the network, I might drop the 40 bucks on it, you know? So, you know, we'll see. Oh, I think it's now 60 with the freaking high def, but thank God we don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, hey.
It's crazy. If you don't have the network by now and you're a wrestling fan, even if you're a casual wrestling fan, if you don't have the network by now, you're delusional.
Yep.
It's just so worth it, man. You know, even just if you're just a casual fan and you just watch the pay-per-views or you just watch the Big Four,
mm-hmm.
then you should be owning the network.
Also, for all you WCW marks out there, that's another reason you need the network.
Yeah, and if you're an old head like me who likes all the Memphis and you know, Texas World Class and AWA and Tuesday Night Titans and all the old school stuff, then you will definitely appreciate the network.
Oh, yeah.
And there's your cheap plug of the night, so.
$9.99.
Yeah, basically. Basically. Didn't they have shirts that said $9.99 a few years ago?
It did. That's, you're right.
That's funny stuff. That is funny stuff. Hello to everybody in the chat room, or if you're listening on TuneIn. There was a TuneIn. Apparently, according to Shaylin, there was a TuneIn issue. I don't see it on my end because I played it and it was working fine. You may want to refresh the feed. I know we're not going to be getting a huge turnout tonight from our regulars because it's the ALCS. So, and the Yankees can wrap it up tonight, and we got a couple of Yankee fans that are watching and trying to listen to Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and I understand, you know, sometimes, you know, we take a backseat to important sports dates, because I actually, a couple of years ago, didn't do Turnbuckle Throwbacks. I could watch the Stanley Cup when the Rangers were in it.
So, don't blame me, man.
I won Mega Powers in advance. I was like, yo, man, I'm taking this Friday off. I'm watching the Cup. Dude, I'm sorry, you know, it's... I'm sorry. You know, even though they lost, but it was still worth it, you know. Sometimes, you know, even with the Mets in the World Series in 2 years ago, you guys remember I took a back seat. I was like, you guys taking the Rants taking a back seat, the Mets are in the World Series. So sometimes you got to do what you got to do, you know what I'm saying?
That's right, man. That's so, right.
All right.
Sure, that's sport.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Absolutely. So there you go in a nutshell with that. It's been... I mean, it melted my internet, all this news about TLC tonight, so I'm glad we have that to talk about. What else is going on the docket?
Nia Jax, she's apparently upset about her role and upset about how much money she's making, and I don't blame her from that standpoint, because she's been booked to be this monster, and she's been anything but that when you come down to it. And I don't blame her for being mad. I don't blame her for being upset. I think she'll come back, but I think she's going to come back at a higher pay rate.
And this is not the first time someone has done that. Apparently Neville's done it. Neville did it. And I know Austin did it. I think Rock did it. A couple of players did it. I don't know what you think your worth is. And I don't, first of all, we're not involved in the wrestling business, so we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, what their actual paychecks are. We just assume what we read on the internet and what we hear from, you know, sources and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So I don't want to say it's really not our place to say, well, you're wrong. I could tell you from a fan standpoint that she's been misused. You're a women's wrestling aficionado of the network, so I mean, this is just pretty obvious that she, you know, for her size and stature, that she's been way, way underused and underutilized. I don't know.
She should have been champion twice by now. And I get it. They love Bliss. I get it. I understand it. I don't personally like Bliss. And I've gotten a lot of heat for not liking Bliss. But, you know, they're in love with her. And you're doing this for Bliss. And you're sacrificing Nia Jax. And you're sacrificing what you tried to build up with her. And I get her frustration. A lot of people are saying that she's holding The Rock, the fact that The Rock is her cousin. We always kid around how the Usos are The Rock's cousin. It's going around, too, that she's using that to hold it over WWE's head. I don't know how true that is, but from everything that I've just been reading, she's unhappy with her role, and she's unhappy with that paycheck. And anytime you're unhappy with the pay window, I don't know if I will walk out. I don't know if I will ever leave an event, but I definitely will have to say something to the powers that be it Road Dogg, be it Vince, whoever it may be.
Do you think she actually made an attempt to talk to the higher-ups before she decided to walk away? Or was it too far bent where she thought she couldn't get... I mean, if she's using the whole, you know, my cousin is this, my cousin is that, if that's the case, then, you know, maybe that's why they're not giving her that push, because she thinks that she has that sense of entitlement. We're only speculating because we don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Right.
But, you know, you should talk to somebody before you decide to walk away. I mean, you know, it's still a paycheck. Unless you have a plan B, unless you have another profession, unless you think you could do better in the indies, then go right ahead. You know, go do you, man. Go do you. But I feel like she was way, way underutilized. Underutilized. So.
And I'm one of the few people, I don't get Bliss. I don't understand it. To me, she's green. When she's in the ring, she has the look. She can talk. She got two or three that you need to succeed. If you can talk, check. If you got the look, check. But you also have to be able to wrestle in the ring. And that's why I feel she's lacking. And to put her several times over other girls, I don't know, man. I'm just not feeling Bliss. And so I kind of get Nia Jax's frustration and any other female up on that Raw roster frustration. I get that too. It's something will come to surface. If something come to surface from another wrestler, I get their frustration too, because right now the fixation is on her, and the fixation is about to be on Carmella over on SmackDown. We'll talk about her later. But you know, I just don't like Bliss. I just don't get it. Put some other girls on that roster. Breathe some new life into that women's division. Hopefully Mickie James can do her thing. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. I'm not a big women's wrestling fan. So, I mean, I appreciate when they put on a good match. You know, sometimes there's three women's matches on this Sunday's pay-per-view. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you have that going for you if you're a fan of the women's wrestling. I don't dislike Bliss as much as you do. However, I see the appeal. I see why they're giving her. She has a look to her. That's A. Okay. What's that?
Right. That's it. That's right. You check that off.
Yeah. She's got a look to her. you know, the ring, the skill set, and this is, listen, this is across the board, man. Most of these girls, their skill set is limited.
Okay? Yeah.
And it sucks that they don't get, you know, only the NXT alum girls were getting the 10 and 20 minute matches. You know, so, I mean, they don't get enough, first of all, they don't get enough time to showcase their skills.
Agreed.
You know, so you can, there's an argument there. You know, like, that's how I felt about Charlotte, if you remember how I felt about Charlotte. At one point, she was a glorified gymnast.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought that too at first.
Yeah, and then she, you know, honed her craft, and, you know, and now she's not bad, you know? She's actually really good. However, yep. it took the powers to be to give her the 10 and 20 minute matches. Because you know what? They're not getting enough time on TV. So now you know, if you have a look, maybe that takes precedent now. I don't know what the mindset is of the booking committee and the writers. I don't know. Speaking of writers, they let Jimmy Jacobs go earlier this week. Last week, because of apparently he took a selfie with the Bucks and Cody Rhodes and Hangman Page outside of they did like a little bit of like an invasion angle, joking around on there being the Elite YouTube show, and he got fired. And Jimmy Jacobs was a well respected writer,
yep.
At that point, so now they let him go. Then they think partially that for that reason. So now he's back on the indies again. And he'll probably become the zombie princess again. And probably show up at Ring of Honor or wherever the case may be. But that was interesting.
I thought it was petty. Thought it was really petty to let him go over that. It had to be. Maybe it was something else that maybe had him on the ropes of being fired. And then that's what pushed it over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I thought that. Petty. I thought of this real petty, man. Over a photo? Come on, man.
Yeah. You know what? I think the internet, dude, and we've talked about this on your old show. I think the internet basically... we know the internet has killed kayfabe, obviously. But
oh, yeah.
I said this on your show years ago, that the internet has just oversaturated the wrestling industry. And there's so much going on, and everybody knows something or knows someone or just gets this information and it bleeds out. Like, even sometimes talent reads their news on Twitter, you know? It's weird that, you know, in all sports, like, there was a couple of guys in baseball during in August that they found that they were traded on Twitter before management called them. So, you know... I think the internet oversaturates sports and sports entertainment in general. It's just another sad case of being oversaturated and, as you said, being petty. So
everybody's a reporter nowadays. All I got to do is take out your camera phone, everybody, take a picture, yeah. Bam, you're a reporter.
Yeah, everybody's a reporter. Everybody's a broadcast journalist now, and there's 9 million podcasts and 9 million web pages, news pages, and everybody knows something, or they think they know something better than you do, and it you know, it just, I don't know, it's oversaturated, man. It's oversaturated. That's it.
It is. I would just like to see it go back to the old days. Like watching the Nitro episode 110, go back to the old days. Wow. 2 hour shows, very involved, very engaged. Social media wasn't like then like it is now. And you can just enjoy wrestling and enjoy the storylines. It's not like that anymore.
I was watching a Nitro from August of 97 when Luger beat Hogan for the belt on Nitro, episode 100.
Remember that one?
And it was a 3 hour Nitro. And there were there were 12 matches. 12, Will. There were 12 matches. Mm-hmm. That's a pay-per-view. That's more than a pay-per-view. That's two pay-per-views sometimes, depending on which fed.
Right.
I mean, dude, just the logic in that. There was 12 matches. So, you know, yeah, you wish it was 2 hours. That's why I watch Raw and SmackDown on Hulu now, because it's condensed.
Right.
No commercials. Right. And it's instead of a 2 hour, 3 hour show, it's an hour and a half, and that's it. Done.
90 minutes.
Dude, it makes it more pleasant for me, man. I don't have to fast forward shit no more.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, it's, seriously, it's insane. So, what else we got going on?
And I'm sick of all these rehashes. There's a lot of people out there that's killing the Shield getting back together. And now I know Roman Reigns is going to be out, but there's a lot of people online that's killing the Shield getting back together because some people feel it's a rehash.
Nobody's happy.
Yeah.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean, what's the medium? Like, where could the wrestling fan get reached? How are we helping the wrestling fan? We'll switch it up. We'll put the team back together. It's ridiculous. It's not like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I try figuring these kids out, and I can't. And I'm not getting, and it's not because I'm old, dude.
Right.
It's because, you know, what do you want as a fan? I wish I could take these millennials and shake them and be like, what do you want? What are you investing your time and money in? Where, you know, you're investing your time, you're investing your money, you're investing your emotions, but yet you'll piss and moan at every single thing that goes on in wrestling. Even when stuff goes your way, you piss and moan. So what do you want as a fan?
Right.
What do you want as a fan? What is going to make you sit there and suspend your disbelief for 2 hours or 3 hours or 5 hours a week? What is it going to take for you to forget your problems and forget what's going on and pretend that when you were and enjoy it like you were a kid again?
Right.
You know?
I don't know what is it, just your guy is not getting over? I don't know if it's simple as that. I don't know if it's simple of all the bad promos, the bad storylines, the rehash storylines you get. I don't know what it is, but like I say, you're seeing a lot of empty seats at these events too. You look at Raw the other night; they show a lot of empty seats. You look at SmackDown the other night; they show a lot of empty seats. The fans are speaking. And something has to be done. I know we show discourse as fans sometimes, but they also have to make some changes.
I agree. What else we got on the docket?
Man, I'm looking at this card for TLC, and I'm not, even with the changes, other than Finn versus AJ, I ain't really feeling it. Your kickoff match is Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox. What the hell, man? When was the last pay-per-view Alicia Fox was on?
They're giving her a push. You want to break down the card? Break down the card. Let's break down the card.
Oh. So, kick off Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox. Then you got Gallagher and Dean Bryan Kendrick versus Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann.
That's Cedric Alexander's pay-per-view debut, FYI.
Yeah.
I'm a Cedric guy. I like Cedric.
Okay. Yeah, Finn Balor versus AJ now. It was Bray Wyatt versus AJ now. That might be the match right there. That could be the best match of the night.
That's going to steal the show.
Yeah, that could be the best match of the night right there.
Yep.
Asuka versus Emma. Now, come on, man.
Come on. Now, Doom asked me to comment on Asuka's black dress that she was wearing. He called me today. He calls me, right? Like, he tries to call me through Messenger. He's like, so now I don't answer the phone. I'm busy, right? So he sends me a message. He's like, yo, I'm trying to call you. I'm like, dude, I'm doing show prep and I'm about to have dinner.
Right.
He goes, I just want to ask you about Asuka's dress. So I said, I'm going to address that tonight with Will. The more I look at her, the more I'm attracted to her in terms of if she had a look to her.
Right.
She is, to me, and this is going to be a little bit of a stretch. I may get some crap for this.
Mm-hmm.
She is the female Great Muda.
You know what? You ain't too far off base with that. You are not too far off base with that. She comes up with the face paint just like he did.
The face paint, the stiff kicks, the acrobat. The acrobatics, like, forget about Muda being a job guy in Florida when he was the ninja. Forget about that.
Right.
I'm talking like 1990 Great Muda, 1989 Great Muda, 1991 Ooh. Great Muda. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think she has the look to her, any ability to be hands down one of the greatest foreign wrestlers to be ever in WWE.
The thing that people forget about Asuka, she was kicking ass way before she was in WWE.
Oh, yeah.
She was kicking ass in Japan. She was kicking ass in Shimmer. She kicked ass here. She was taking on dudes, man. She's, I don't want to say the best, but she's definitely one of.
When my kid and our boy Rob from Thumbstick Ninjas are walking around with Asuka masks on, you know, then you know something's going on. Pastor Sadell says, for some reason, I'm chatting from Huntington, West Virginia. I'm sorry, Pastor. I was in West Virginia for like a day and I didn't like it. I'm sorry.
I've never been up there. I've been meaning to visit, though. I got a good friend of mine up there. I've been meaning to visit. But I give Emma props for taking this match, because if you look at Asuka's history, she's not from females out. Bliss being one of them. So, you got to give props to Emma for taking that match.
And if they add the Mist, can you imagine? They probably won't. But could you just imagine her with the taped fingers and just spitting mist in people's faces? I'd be like, God, it's so dope.
Oh, that's awesome. She'd be so over.
She would. I mean, she's over now. You know,
she'd be even more over if she did that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the next match?
I love that. Kalisto, your cruiserweight champion, versus Enzo Amore.
Yeah. I thought Enzo should never have lost that belt that quick. I think the heat on him was amazing. It put some life into the cruiserweight division. I'm not a cruiserweight division fan.
Mm-hmm.
Except for my boys Rich Swann and Cedric. I love those guys.
Right.
I'm a Tony Nese guy too. I love Tony Nese. I've loved Tony Nese since the Indies, because he did a lot of local stuff around here. I thought putting the belt on Kalisto was too quick. If this is punishment for Enzo, apparently he's getting the heat back in the back from the boys.
Yeah.
So if this is punishment for him, then whatever. But if they're doing it to legitimately push Kalisto, I don't know, man. I'm not sold on it. I'm not even emotionally invested in anything that he's doing. If they want to rehash the Ray Ray stuff, he's name dropping like Ray Ray and Eddie Guerrero, and I'm like the Latino heritage. I get all that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not feeling it, bro. Not at all.
I've never been a Kalisto fan because, again, it just seems to be copycat, and I've never felt any way to a Kalisto at all. I thought they should have milked all the heat, as much heat as they could, from Enzo, because he got that heat quick too. Yeah. He did that with Big Cass, and from that point forward, smile.
I agree.
They should have just milked all that heat from Enzo as much as they could before they put that cruiserweight strap on anybody. And from what I've been reading too, Enzo is another reason why Neville's leaving.
Yeah, I read that too. We're only speculating because we don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But we do. We all reading that he's getting heat. So I like to see Enzo get the belt back just to get the heat. I like that heat, man. I like that heel heat.
Me too. Now, if you want these two to feud, I got no problem with a feud, because Kalisto can hold his own in a feud when it comes to being in the ring. But nah, he shouldn't have got that belt that quick. And then to have that Photoshop picture come out, that was a losing proposition all the way through. Nah, we didn't need to see that Photoshop picture.
Anyway, all right, let's move on to the next match.
All right, for the Raw Women's Championship, Alexa Bliss, who is your champion, versus Mickie James.
Do we see Mickie James getting a belt for nostalgia? Are they going to piggyback it to Alexa Bliss, or are they going to keep the rocket ship on her back? We just spoke about her briefly, about Bliss, and how you're not happy with her, and you explained why, and that's fine. Would it be nice to have Mickie James as champion again for a couple of days? Yeah, why not? I mean,
yeah.
That belt's been piggybacked more times than Carter's puts out pills. At this point, it doesn't matter. For nostalgia reasons, I'd love to see Mickie James win the belt. I don't know how you feel about that.
I would too. I would too, because if you go back and look at her illustrious history, first of all, she's a Hall of Famer. And to just add one more thing to that Hall of Fame resume would be perfect. She can hold it for a week and drop it to Bliss on a Raw that following week. It wouldn't matter to me.
Right.
If you give her the belt just to submit that, I think that'd be a great thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the next match?
Tables, Letters, and Chairs. The Shield, now with Kurt Angle, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose versus Braun Strowman, Kane, Cesaro, Sheamus, and The Miz.
I don't see the face team winning. I don't see Kurt. Even if they had Roman Reigns, I don't see them winning this match. I think the heels have to get over to keep the storyline going. Yep. If there's going to be any kind of IC title match between The Miz and Roman Reigns, they have to keep the feud going. Now you insert Kane for no reason.
No reason at all.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It would make more sense if he was with the face team, but he's not. So, it is what it is, you know? I don't know. I don't see the Shield. I don't see the Rollins, Ambrose, and Kurt Angle winning. I don't see it.
Me neither. That's just too much. You get just to see Braun and Kane stand together. That's enough for anybody. You add Cesaro and Sheamus.
Roman and Kane should be fighting each other.
Yeah.
They should be just kicking the snot out of each other. You know.
That'd be awesome to see too. Oh, that can close a Raw.
Why not?
Close the Raw. Most definitely.
Why not? Maybe we'll see that eventually. Maybe we'll see Kane and Braun Strowman slob and knocking it up eventually.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it might be some distinction in the ranks.
I would love to see Kane get revenge on Roman for taking down Taker.
Yeah, that might be another feud too that they're looking to do for Survivor Series. Well, this might set up Survivor Series. This might set up they can have more traditional matches, and we'll get into that in another month. But you know, if they keep doing stuff like this, you can implement guys like, you know, when Roman Reigns comes back, you can implement guys like Kurt Angle and shit like that. You can build and build and build. They have all this ability and all this TV time, and they don't take advantage of it. And it just chaps my ass, dude. It bothers me so much that they don't do that. I don't get it, you know?
All that talent, too, man.
Yeah, the talent. First of all, the talent pool has not been this deep since, I want to say, the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if anybody wants to debate me on it, please do on social media. And I will explain myself in detail. But the talent pool has never been this deep. And you can utilize guys and girls in a certain way and carry on a story and not lose the interest of the ADHD wrestling fan.
Right.
Of that short attention span wrestling fan. You can carry on a story and be like, wow, this is really, really cool. And then now you have the ability to do that. So, I don't know. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer every episode, you know, so.
Yeah, but you're bringing up good points, though, on how they can improve.
Yeah.
And according to Stephanie McMahon, we as fans can make a difference in the way WWE directs itself. According to her, we can incite change. And how the hell you come to that conclusion, I don't know. But at least you're getting it out, what they can do to improve it.
Well, why don't you get people who can write, man? That's the bottom line, man. That's the bottom line. Let's get people who can write. You want to make a change, get the pulse from the fans, and you get the pulse from the fans by the way they buy merchandise, by the way they pay for seats, and by the way they chant in the audience. You could tell who they like, who they don't like. However, if you get the pulse of the audience and you can piggyback on that and tell me a good story in the ring, you're not going to hear me piss and moan about it anymore. But that'll never happen. So let's keep it moving.
They got so many wrong things going on right now. I was talking with Tony C the other day. I think it was Tony C of Doom. I don't like the way they're doing Shinsuke.
I was talking about this with Choppy on one of our episodes. You can't expect a strong style wrestler to come in here and perform a different way. Shinsuke Nakamura is the king of... That's his gimmick. That's his shtick. He's the king of strong style. So he's stiff. He's mechanical. And he's not over the top. He will stiff you and beat you up. That's what he does. And he's and the only difference between him and guys like Okada is that he's a showman about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's got the he's got the charisma,
right?
You know, that's why people have a discrepancy now with Shinsuke, because they do well. I like the way they're doing him. It's not what they're doing him. It's what he's doing. It's you can't expect you can't expect somebody to change that. You can't a leopard to change its spots. You know. I don't understand where people are so, like, not upset, but they're, like, confused. You can't be confused. Just give him better matches.
Yeah, yeah.
Give him better matches and let him do his thing. Let him do his thing. And you're going to eventually have to put a belt on him. I know a lot of guys don't need – and I said – and I know I'm kind of being hypocritical where I told our audience that some guys just don't need a belt. Like, Kevin Owens don't need a belt, you know? Bray Wyatt doesn't need a title, you know?
Right.
I think Shinsuke Nakamura needs a belt. I think he, because he's limited in his promos, and he's limited in terms of being a WWE wrestler. So if you put a belt on him, you give him a good story.
You legitimize him.
Exactly. Exactly. It puts a little bit of legitimacy in the character that is the WWE's version of Shinsuke Nakamura. So
I would love to, like I said, I didn't like that gender match. I didn't like it at all. But hopefully they will right that ship with him, because he had too much hype from NXT to come over and be this. You know?
Yeah, no, I dude, you're preaching to the choir. There's I agree. I don't understand what they're doing. I just hope they legitimize him eventually. And then it'll make the trip up from NXT more worthwhile, you know, because they were paying him main event money in NXT anyway.
Yeah, they were.
So he's been treated like a superstar. He is a superstar.
Yeah.
So
it is. What do you think about Jim Ross saying Conor McGregor would eventually be in the WWE?
He's young enough. I mean, a lot of those guys, if they're charismatic enough, they can make that transition. I don't know if McGregor can fully invest his character in WWE like a Ronda Rousey can, where, you know, Conor McGregor is, you know, he's obnoxious and he's crude and he swears a lot. Like, I don't know how he could tone that up or tone it down for WWE, where Ronda Rousey is the opposite, where she's still a badass. You could sell her as a badass, and she's still clean. She's still clean cut. I mean, she's got a nice smile to her, and she'll choke you out. You know, where Conor McGregor has to curse and carry on and, you know, flaunt it. Like, there's a difference. Can he do it? Maybe. I'm not a big UFC guy. I'm a casual UFC fan, so I can't really say what's good and what's not good with him. But if Jim Ross sees something in him, then possibly. Because Jim Ross was talent relations for how long? You know,
for
a minute. for a minute. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is, dude. I like to see it happen. Shining Wizards Tony in the room. They should give Nakamura a Fu Manchu and a Raiden hat.
What's up, Shining Wizards Tony? I want to take it back to WCW for a second. What do you think about War Games coming into the WWE?
You know, this is my favorite. This is my favorite gimmick match. You know that I've been asking for this for years and years and years and years and years. You know that I'm all about the round table and that's coming up, and I'm dedicating a whole weekend to it, you know. I feel like they're kind of wasting it on NXT.
Yeah, that's what me and Doom were saying. Why NXT?
You know. Hold on, this is for Tony. He mentioned he mentioned what he mentioned Mortal Kombat before. This is a
Toasty.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? If I think this is all Triple H,
right?
You know what I'm saying? This is Triple H. Because Vince didn't want Vince doesn't want anything that's not WCW. I mean, that's not WWE homegrown. Where Triple H is like, listen, we can profit off this, and now you're gonna put these monsters in a cage. It all makes the feud makes sense. You know, so now you're telling me a good story. Maybe they're using it as a test run for to bring it up top, you know. But there's not enough. I don't know. I'm so excited about the War Games. I really am. I can't wait. I just hope they don't screw it up. That's all.
My only thing is, again, me and Doom was talking about it. Maybe if you would have used it for more, I don't know, maybe integrate it more with Survivor Series?
No, let's keep Survivor Series as Survivor Series. Give War Games War Games. Give it like a Fall Brawl or a War Games, or it's got to be its own entity. It's the War Games, if you will. I mean, it's... You know, there's a big dust to say, man. It's the War Games, if you will. But, you know, it's not... It's got to be its own entity, dude. It's got to be its own thing. You can't, like... I would put it at Mania. You know me. I don't... Because I... Dude, I love a cage match. I love that gimmick. It's my favorite gimmick match. And now you put double... The first three or four War Games are incredible. Because they all told a story. And everybody involved was... As a kid, you emotionally invested in all of the characters, in the Horsemen, and the Russians, and the Road Warriors, and then later on with the Midnight Express and the Samoans, you invested emotionally in these characters. But, you know, again, I have no issues with the War Games. Speaking of NXT, that night... Drew Galloway is going to defend the title against Adam Cole, baby. And special guest referee is going to be the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
So that's going to be interesting. I'm more excited for NXT that weekend than the actual event that we're going to have all the heads here that day. The whole crew's coming over for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm more excited about the night before when I shouldn't be. But between us doing the pre-show and us doing the roundtable with Double A and Tony C and him, it's gonna be the haps. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
So,
man, I want to ask you about Daniel Bryan saying that he wouldn't mind wrestling Kurt Angle again. You think Daniel Bryan's done?
No. Never say never. He's been hinting that because his contract is up soon, apparently. So if he walks, he can go back to Ring of Honor. He can go to Japan if he can get cleared. The problem with him is he's got that dirty hippie mentality where he's got these holistic medicine doctors, you know, and he's not. There's nothing credible about he's going to Dr. Vinny Bumbats for his. He's going to Dr. Vinny Bumbats for his workups and stuff. He's got to get some legitimacy. He still got it. He still has a little bit more life in him, I think. You know, never say never. I like to see him in the ring again. I was a fan of Daniel Bryan.
My only issue with Daniel Bryan, and me and Lee used to like go back and forth, have drag out fights on Daniel Bryan. My issue, I didn't have a problem with him in the ring. I just thought he never should have been champion because I always thought he was too small to wrestle the style he was wrestling. And unfortunately, I turned out to be right on that part. But I don't have a problem with him, you know, coming in, mid-card guy, what have you. But he really needs to change that style, man, because I would hate for him to, you know, get hurt again.
Well, I'm going to agree with you and disagree with you. I agree that he... I disagree with you that he shouldn't have been. He should have been world champion because he was a good champion. However, they gave him such shitty, shitty feuds.
And they did do that.
The guys he had to fight with the Mark Henrys of the world. Like, dude, he had one of the most shittiest runs as world champion ever. And you can count CM Punk's couple of runs too, because some of Punk's runs were terrible because of the guys they put him up against. But I mean, you can count on your hand how many good championship matches Daniel Bryan actually had, and none of it was his fault.
Yeah.
None of it was his fault. That was just them writing guys into him because it. I know the whole David and Goliath thing works, but you know, when you're a champion, you have to put some credibility to the belt and put some credibility into the matches. And I felt like he got the short stick of that. So,
what's your feeling on Baron Corbin?
I said this before on Turnbuckle Throwbacks a couple of times. Baron Corbin is one of those guys that only works good with certain people. You know, I don't think he's a bad hand. I think they see something in him. I don't know what it is. My kid turned on him. My kid.
Mikey said, nope.
Mikey was rocking a t-shirt. He's got the t-shirt and everything. And then he's like, nah, I'm not with him anymore. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I don't like him anymore. I'm like, why? Normally he has an explanation for me, but this time he couldn't even explain himself. I'm like, dude, explain yourself to me. Why don't you like him? I don't know. I just don't like him anymore. I was like, all right. And that's not and that's not the first person to tell me that. And this is coming from a 10-year-old.
Right.
I don't know. I don't dislike him like a lot of people do. I just don't think he works well with a lot of. I think he works well with certain guys, and that's it.
My issue with Baron, I like his talent. But to me, he doesn't have it. You know, he doesn't have that it factor that makes you stand out from the top outside of his talent. I think he was a talented dude in the NFL. But I just don't think he has that it that makes him head and shoulders above everybody else.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, I can't disagree there. Any other news and notes that you got?
I'm trying to look here. That's all I got, man.
Let me break down the Ring of Honor card real quick.
Go ahead, man.
Chucky T and Beretta lost to Silas Young and the Bear City Bruiser. That was a decent match. Marty Scurll and Takahashi kicked ass. I liked that match. That was good. Let's see. Give me one second. Kushida and Cheeseburger lost to Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. Cheeseburger is so over in Japan, it's ridiculous. Chris Shelley, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, Jonathan Gresham, and Jay White lost to the Young Bucks, Adam Page, and Cody. Cody cut a promo in the beginning of the card that he re-signed with Ring of Honor, and then he got jumped by a fan, and the fan happened to be Dalton Castle. So Dalton Castle's going to get some title matches, which I'm happy about. The Dogs, Will Ferrara, and Rhett Titus, because Rhett Titus needs a new tag team partner now that Kenny King is a TV champ. Took on Brian Johnson and Justin Puker. Let's see. This match was fantastic. Suzuki Gun, which is Minoru Suzuki, Lance Archer, and Davey Boy Smith, the Killer Elite Squad. They beat Jay Lethal, Kenny King, and Shane Taylor. Shane Taylor filling in for Mark Briscoe, who had a horrific elbow injury last weekend. So Colt Cabana beat Yano. It was like a comedy match. Will Ospreay and Flip Gordon, they kicked ass. I like Will Ospreay a lot. That kid can go. And for the US IWGP title, Kenny Omega defeated Yoshihashi, and Kenny Omega still delivers the goods. If you're not a Kenny Omega fan, I don't know why you're not.
Something's wrong with you if you're not. What do you think about Billy Ray retiring? Billy Ray, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he announced it on that card, and I put it on Twitter and Facebook. He's got post-concussion syndrome, so he won't be back anytime soon. He's in his late 40s already. He's a regular now on Busted Open on Sirius XM. And he's done. Like, really, honestly, I'm not feeling him as a singles wrestler anyway. And what more can you do? You're part of the most decorated tag team in wrestling.
True that.
When your partner's retired, what do you do? Like, you know, they couldn't even push him as a singles in Ring of Honor. He was a six man.
Yeah.
So I was never a big Dudley's fan to begin with. But I never like disliked them. Like I didn't hate them. They were awesome as heels, man. They were fantastic as heels.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it, man. I wish him well. He does good on satellite radio. I listen to him almost every other day at work. So he does good there. He does good stuff. I just wish he can get healthy. He's got a hot girlfriend. He has the wrestling. Yep. He has the wrestling school now. The radio career. He's helping out Tommy Dreamer with House of Hardcore, who just got the Twitch deal.
Mm-hmm.
So good for Tommy Dreamer. He's going to do all their shows on Twitch TV. And that's pretty much it, man. That's pretty much it.
I've never been a big Tommy Dreamer guy. Have you?
Nah, I mean, I liked him in ECW, but not... Like, his stuff with Raven was incredible.
It was.
But that's all it was. He didn't do anything else really that great, you know?
Mm-mm. Kind of dry.
Yeah.
Kind of dry.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. I'm gonna wet the whistle, hit the can, plug some of our friends, and we got a kick-ass throwback for you tonight.
Oh, yes.
So let's take a quick break. You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You are live on Rant EM Radio with myself and Mr. William Morgan. We're part of the Shining Wizards Network as well. I forgot to mention that before, like I always do. And Lord Alfred Hayes is going to take us into the break. We'll be right back. Let's all mute our microphones and take a quick break. Back
all right.
All right.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumb fuckery.
I haven't bled this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
We're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Philly Ray, Will Morgan in the building.
Sir.
I stand corrected. The Adam Cole match with Drew Galloway is going to be the night before at a house show before the War Games. Thank you,
okay.
Nick German Suplex, the birthday boy, for correcting me.
Nick!
I played Razor Ramon's music in his first promo in the beginning of the show. It's his 58th birthday today. So happy birthday to Scott Hall. Looks like he's 78, the poor guy.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's in bad shape. But he was so good in the ring, man. I love Scott Hall.
He was. He was very good. And could work with anybody, too.
He was one of those big men that were just so gifted, you know?
Yep. Yep. He went in there and he worked a good match with Lex Luger. If he can do that, there you go.
You know how I feel about Sexy Lexi.
Yep.
you ready for this throwback, bro?
I am ready, man.
All right, let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
For those keeping score of the ALCS, it's the sixth inning. Astros are up 3-0. I like them to force a game 7 because it's good for baseball. More baseball, more better.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's kick this back to October 20th, 1997, from Biloxi, Mississippi. 5,000 in attendance. Look like there's 50,000 because that's how WCW rolled.
Yep.
For, let's see, the actual number was 5950. By looking at that crowd, and be honest with me, bro, can you tell there was only 5,000 people in that audience?
I couldn't.
Right? Because they did it so good, right?
Yep.
All right, well, there were. And this is the Monday Nitro before Halloween Havoc 1997 now. Piggybacking from last week, Roddy Piper was accosted, was jumped. He's the GM, he's the CEO, he's the head man in charge, and he's trying to put some law and order back in World Championship Wrestling, but the NWO is running wild. Hulk Hogan will have no part of it. Eric Bischoff will have no part of it. But this week, the show opens with a bunch of the NWO guys being laid out. And all you see on the floor is a black baseball bat and a Diamond Dallas Page paraphernalia and a Roddy Piper shirt.
Don't forget about the outline.
And the chalked outline of the body.
Yep.
So that opened up Nitro.
Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did. Then Bischoff and Hogan came out there, did a little promo.
Yeah, and it, you know what? It's, again, like, I wasn't a big WCW guy. I really wasn't. I was more of a WWF guy. I always was because it was just, I mean, I loved the NWA, but WCW after 1993, after Hogan, I'm just like, you know. But the NWO, when it was hot, it was really good. They kept your interest. Bringing back guys like Piper made it interesting, you know?
Yep.
But the card, I mean, the card is stacked, you know? The opening match was one of those Dave Meltzer fucking five-star matches that he constantly talks about in write-ups, which was the Cruiserweight Championship match between Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. Every time I look at Chris Benoit, I cringe, and B, I always wonder what it would have been like if he would have stayed healthy and he could have been a multi-time champion, world champion, and he could have been, you know, a Hall of Famer, you know. But the stuff he did in ECW and WCW before even WWE was fantastic. I mean, he was a horseman, but him and Eddie had such good charisma, and they had good chemistry.
Yep.
This
showed that, too.
What was that?
This match showed that, too.
And it was only 7 minutes long.
They did a good job. They did a damn good job for that 7 minutes.
Yeah, it's one of those. If you read some of the old articles online, it's one of those Dave Meltzer, like those 5-star, like, oh my god, this was amazing kind of matches, you know.
Yep.
So that went down. Your next match was the Bill Goldberg streak continuing, and he fought Wrath, right?
Did that match last a minute?
20 seconds. I don't know if you noticed, but after he speared Wrath and did the jackhammer, is that what it's called, right? The jackhammer?
Yep, that's right? What it was.
He did the jackhammer. He actually, and pinned him, he looked at his arm. I think he thought he cut himself on some of the ring gear that Wrath was rocking. Wrath was Brian Adams?
Yeah, I think that was in Brian Adams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Mortis was Chris Canyon, I think.
Yeah.
Queens' own, by the way. Queens, New York's own Chris Canyon. Rest in peace. Tank's sister got me an autograph of Chris Canyon before he passed away. Back in the day, I got that from her. So shout out to Jessica. Let's see. Hold on a second. My computer's acting up here. Get out of there. Go away. Okay. So, of course, Mortis stays on cause for the next match. He has to fight Mongo.
Yep. Yep.
Like, who cares?
The only person I know that was really a fan of Mongo is Double A. And I don't know anybody else who liked Mongo.
I don't know. First of all, you can't. No one can defend Mongo to me on my show. And I'm talking to Lee, I'm talking to Tony C, I'm talking to Double A, I'm talking to all the WCW heads.
Mm.
None of y'all can justify Steve Mongo McMichael to me. Not him, not his dog Pepe, not his busted-ass wife. Like, none of it. You cannot defend any of that to me. His wife was a little more hotter when she hooked up with Steve Austin. That was about it. Because she wore better clothes.
Right.
But I'm sorry, man. Whatever. You were hoping that Mortis would get the win, but he, you know what I'm saying? But it just...
In that match. And that was, I've never been that a Michael Matt Margo's fan.
That was a painful 5 minutes, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. The only good thing about that, you saw his little run-in with Goldberg right after.
Oh, Mongo.
Yeah, you saw Mongo's little run-in with Goldberg right after.
Couldn't hold a candle to Bill Goldberg, and Goldberg was limited.
That's bad.
Right? Isn't it terrible that you can't hold... You're that bad that you can't hold a candle to Bill Goldberg?
Yep.
Crazy talk. Crazy talk, I tell you. Crazy talk. Crazy talk, Will. Crazy.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my goodness, man.
What about the next match?
Next match on the card, we got a Juventud Guerrero versus Yuji Nagata.
Nagata's still fighting. I mentioned that last week. I don't know if you were listening in last week. Yuji Nagata's still fighting.
Wow.
Yeah, in New Japan. In old Japan. Really? Yeah, he's still wrestling. So he's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
He came out with Sonny Ono. He came out with Sonny Ono doing this match. He won with the Nagata lock.
Yes. Sonny Ono, friend of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
And that Nagata lock, I don't care what people, that bitch looked painful as hell.
And I love Hoovy too. Always did. I was a fan of Hoovy.
That Hoovy juice.
The Hoovy juice. He was listen, man, he had a thing, man. Hoovy had a thing. He was good.
Wasn't he the guy that The Rock said, "How are you at two places at the same time?"
Yeah.
Oh, Hoovy boy,
Juventud.
Yeah, Hoovy wasn't bad though.
Hoovy was a good hand. WCW had a stacked freaking roster, man. At that point,
yeah, they did.
Crazy, right? When you think about it,
And no wonder it went out of business, because they had to, well, not out of business per se, but they had to pay all those guys too. So
hell yeah, they did.
You had to pay them, man.
They paid a lot. They paid a lot of guys for staying home too.
Yep, they did. They did.
There's a whole bunch of guys that didn't even wrestle. They got paid to stay home.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that Rey Mysterio promo?
You know what? I don't know. He wasn't that really good on the stick. You know, he was good in the ring, though. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Ray was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved, what do you call it? Well, he wins a title. He beats Disco Inferno. Mm-hmm. Who Disco Inferno was involved with Miss Jackie at this point, which was comical.
It was.
But it was, he doesn't beat him for the title. He just beats him by disqualification. But he winds up winning the title anyway, multiple times. But I don't have any different about the promo. I mean, was there something significant that you wanted to bring out at the point, or?
Oh no, I was just saying, you know, in terms of him being able to talk.
Yeah, he didn't like embarrass himself. He can cut a promo. It just wasn't like, it wasn't like earth shattering. You know what I'm saying? Coming from a 160 pound masked Mexican, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Ray was but back in the day, man, early WC, man, Ray was the man. He was the man.
Yeah, and I know I said this before, but I was at his first North American appearance in ECW in Philly. So the first time I saw him, I was like, man, that's the dude. That's what's-his-face's nephew. That's the guy, you know, from AAA and whatever. But, yeah, he pretty much put the corner on put the label on the cruiserweights, man. He definitely set a tone for the rest of that division. He was that good. Ray was fantastic in the ring, and I loved his WWF stuff too, man.
Who you think was better, Mysterio or Ultimo Dragon?
Well, Ultimo Dragon's more decorated because he wrestled in more places.
Right.
Technically, Strong Style, it was definitely give it to Dragon, but outside of the moonsault, Ultimate Dragon didn't do anything. I think Ray slightly beats him. Slightly. But Ultimate Dragon's more decorated because he wrestled in more places.
Yeah, he did.
And he was, you know, they don't name moves after you for no, you know. It's the Acai moonsault because that's him. That's his last name, you know. You don't get you don't get moves named after you if you aren't that good, you know.
That dude came in more than he used to walk down the ringside, had like what, 12 belts?
Yeah, Mexico, Japan, Germany, Australia. Like, he won belts on every continent he went on. He was very decorated, but Ray had more charisma.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And Ultimo Dragon was limited because he didn't speak. So.
Right.
You know, so.
And don't forget, too, I thought something that was kind of interesting about this. You had Raven and his crew come out there and just sit down in the seats. And it's like, you're wondering why. To me, this happened in my there in the seats where this crew was just funny.
Yeah. And Raven starts cutting these promos. Like last week, he had one in the kid room.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's cutting promos regularly. There's a guy that I wasn't a huge fan of him, but you knew you had something special with him.
Right.
Because he can go in the ring, and he cut a crazy promo, man.
Right. What,
crazy. Like, he was so good on the mic.
You had him, Stevie Richards, you had Kidman.
Perry Saturn.
Yep.
Sick Boy. There was a couple of guys in that flock that went in and out.
I love Perry Saturn back in the day too.
I was a huge Eliminators fan. You guys all know that. I love Perry Saturn. Watching him wrestle in person was one of my favorite things. Watching him as the Eliminators with him and Cronus, they were such a great tag team. And when they gave him like that mop gimmick, I was like, oh man. But you could tell that he had the charisma to do it. You know, you could tell that he had something special. another guy they need to move after. You know, like when you get moves named after you, you know you're pretty good. You know.
Yeah. Oh man, dude, we got a lot of the Nitro girls too, which I ain't complaining about.
No, they're nice on the eyes. Just a you know something to kill time in between commercial breaks. The redhead did it for me though. She was hot. The one with the big hands, the redhead, not Kimberly, the other one.
Other one, yeah.
I don't even know her name. I can care less.
You just want to know what you look like.
that's all I care about. Like, hey, well, this is the Nitro girl. And I like when they tried to name them. I'm like, who cares what their fucking names are, dude? Tony Schiavone being so technical, I'm like, dude, who cares? It's no one cares what their names are. No one in the audience can give two shits what the Nitro girls' names are. No one. Especially
you could have called them the far one on the left. That's all we needed.
That's it, dude. It didn't matter. It didn't even matter at that point. Stop. Stop it, you broadcast journalist, you. Stop being so damn technical.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then we got the Giant coming out with the Luchadors.
Yeah, they had to get another filler thing, but just it was fun to watch. You know, just watch them killing Luchadors. It's almost like Bundy killing the midgets, you know, same thing.
Because Silvani had me rolling. I've never seen a guy cut a promo and powerbomb somebody at the same time.
They invested a lot of time in Big Show.
They did.
They put the rocket ship on him way too quick, though. He was way immature for that, apparently, behind the scenes. And you learn that when DVD came out in WWE. Mm-hmm. But they marketed him, man. They had something with him. They knew off the bat.
He said that much in that interview that he was with Stone Cold, that when he was younger, you know, he was a little bit immature when he first started out, you know.
Yeah.
But glad he got together, because he for a long time he wrecked shop everywhere he was.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Let's see, what the next match?
Oh, Inferno, your WCW champ. I'm sorry, Raven. Just go in front of your WCW TV champion, defensive belt versus Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, DQ. Like I said, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes and 17 seconds. We're not getting back.
Can't get that time in your life back.
But again, Disco Inferno, I had no problem with. He was comedy relief, and he can actually go in the ring.
Yeah.
Like he was a decent wrestler. Glenn Gilbert was a good wrestler. So it wasn't like a thing where he didn't just talk a good game and be terrible in the ring. He was solid. He was a good hand. And he bumped too. He was a good bump machine too.
And I think he knew what he was. You know, he knew what he was. I'm out here to make the crowd smile. I'm out here to entertain. I'm not out here to do this, to do that. Think more on myself. You got a lot of guys who come through with that big ego, so to speak. You know, like Bret Hart left being, he was the hitman 24/7. Disco wasn't like that. And I kind of like that, you know, as a side. He knew what he was.
You know what? You're absolutely right. He knew his role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Next he knew his role. He knew his role and he shut his mouth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For the U.S. title. Kurt Hennig defending against Dean Malenko. This should have been a pay-per-view match.
It could have been. It sure could have been. I love Dean Malenko. I was getting slack down here for liking Malenko. You like Malenko? Why? He's boring. He has no personality. I just like the fact that he can go.
He stretched out. He didn't have to talk. He didn't have to talk. He didn't have to talk.
Nope.
But that went almost 10 minutes, and Kurt Hennig was on a momentum at that point. He had just joined the NWO, turned on the Horseman recently in the cage of Fall Brawl. So he was, you know, the U.S. champ, and he was on a momentum at that point. He wasn't losing the belt on Nitro that night.
Well, when he gave the belt, when he gave Flair Road to Hogan.
Oh, right. That was funny. That was funny stuff. That was funny stuff. We'll talk about. We'll talk. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They sold the hell out of that match, though.
No, yeah, no, both guys can go, man. It was when both guys can go, it's fun to watch, you know, especially at that time in the late 90s. Forget about it.
Yeah. It
was such a fun time to watch.
Was.
Yes, man. What's the next match? Scott Norton against Ray Trailer. Poor Ray Trailer.
I know. He got the locker. How did Bobby Heenan say it? That's locker.
Yeah, you know, he what he called, he was like the one guy that was against, he was anti-NWO, but never had help. He always tried to take on the NWO by himself before he wound up joining them, but he always tried to fight them by himself. That always bothered me. Like, how come nobody comes out and helps this guy? Like, where the hell are the Steiners? Where's DDP? Like, where are all these dudes? Where's the Giant? Where he always comes out by himself and gets and gets his ass kicked by the NWO. It was so sad.
Did you? And I'm gonna take it back a little bit to the beginning of the show. I know you have somewhat of a history with Liz and Disco. How did he ever end up doing color?
Well, he stopped wrestling at that point. Mm-hmm. And he can talk. So, and he had a history with Bischoff from the AWA.
Mm-hmm.
So, right there was the in. I didn't. The only reason why I got heat with Larry Zbysko because he wanted, you know, charge me money for him to come on my podcast, and I was like, no, you know, I mean, I wanted to talk to him so bad. Like, he has a gym in Florida. I'm like, you plug your gym, plug the wrestling school. He's like, yeah, but I want, you know, I'm charging you $50 an hour. I'm like, get out of here with you.
You're doing him a favor.
Well, that's what I thought. But, you know, it's the same thing with Honky Tonk Man. I don't do podcasts. But the next day he's on Coco Banner's podcast.
That don't make no sense, man.
Just tell me no, dude. I won't be upset. Just tell me no. Don't tell me no and then wind up on, don't give me some lame ass excuse. And I don't dislike Larry Zbysko, man. I think he's awesome. I was talking about Larry Zbysko last week on the show. Mm-hmm. On how I loved his AWA promos when he had the Larry Land drop behind him.
Yeah.
So, and he was great as the enforcers. He was good. He was good as AWA champion. He fought Bockwinkel and Rick Martel and all those guys. He was a good wrestler. He was Bruno's prize pupil. So, before he turned on him.
Yeah.
And caught a beating afterwards, but that's another podcast. everybody's favorite sexy Lex Luger taking on Booker T.
Booker T.
Yeah. I just saw Booker T arm wrestle the mascot from the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was cool. I'm glad that they're recovering over there pretty well. I'm glad Booker T is a staple in the community too. I'm glad that that's one guy that I loved when they pushed him, and you know how I feel about the Harlem Heat. But when they pushed him as a singles guy and it worked, I was like, "This is so cool." That it was like a feel good story. How he had a, you know, checkered past and got the shot in Global Wrestling, and then, you know, they were the Ebony Express, and then he came over and became Harlem Heat, and they wound up winning all those belts and Sister Sherry and the feuds they had. Like, they were just they were solid. And then we got some insight from Stevie Ray on your old show. So, like, I feel like, you know, every time I see Booker T, even though he's not that good as a commentator, every time I see him, I smile. I'm genuinely happy for guys like that.
Now, would you say, Phil, it's fair to say the better wrestler you were, the worse commentator you would make?
Well, yeah, maybe, because, I mean, because JBL was a good wrestler, but he was terrible. He's terrible on the mic.
Yep.
Booker T is a great wrestler, but he's terrible on the mic.
Yep.
But I don't know, because Jerry Lawler was a decent wrestler. He was good on the mic.
Yeah, he was.
Jerry Lawler wasn't terrible in the ring. People still give me shit about it. Choppy gives me shit about it. Like, I said, yeah, I don't know what the appeal was with Lawler. I'm like, the appeal is that he was involved in some crazy stuff. And he was a good hand. He wasn't, like, over-the-top amazing, but he fought the Ric Flairs of the world, and he fought the Bockwinkles of the world, and he fought the whole Andy Kaufman thing, and the Memphis stuff with Bill Dundee and Adrian Street and all that other stuff, and Austin Idol and Danny Davis and all those guys from Memphis, and then the feud they had with Angelo Poffo's IWA with Randy Savage and the Rock and Roll Express and Lanny Poffo and stuff like that. So, most of the time it's depending on how good you are in the ring, but not for nothing though. Rick Rude was decent on a stick in ECW, and he was a phenomenal wrestler.
That's true too.
Shane Douglas was good. Mm-hmm. he was decent. But yeah, you know what? Lately, yeah, though that you have a point there. Lately, it's the better you are, the worse you are on the mic. Mm-hmm. So good. That's a good call.
I remember Booker T's first singles title win. He won the World TV Champion with a missile drop kick off the top against Arn Anderson, and I just thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Well, I thought his best of seven with Benoit was phenomenal.
That was good too. Yes,
that was just you waited for that next match. It was so good, It was so good, dude. I enjoyed that.
And I thought it was interesting toward the end too, when Benoit said, "If you ever need a tag partner, I got you." And how Stevie Ray took offense to it.
Yeah. I mean, Benoit knew what he had, man. When you work with somebody that good, they had good chemistry. Not for nothing. No disrespect to Stevie Ray, but Booker T was the anchor in that team. Stevie Ray was just a muscle. Booker T was the man. Booker T took the punishment. Booker T did most of the work.
Right.
Booker T was the Ricky Morton of that team. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
And no disrespect to Robert Gibson. No disrespect to Stevie Ray, but, Booker T was the anchor of that team, so just putting that out there. Anybody want to dispute me? That's fine. You can go to the website, go to Facebook, go to Twitter. I'm just saying, man. I'm just putting that out there.
And it was so funny. I was able to relive that 1-900-909-9900.
And they have to remind you that the number doesn't work anymore.
Help!
Because there's some jerk off that's sitting there going, "I wonder if I call this number, it's still going to work." I guarantee you, someone has tried. I can guarantee you, somebody has tried.
Yep. Oh my goodness! But it was good to see Booker T in this match come out. You saw, between the Booker and Den, and what you ended up singing. No one, I don't think, saw him going to the Hall of Fame.
No, I saw him going, but not that quickly.
Right.
Everybody's going to get in. It's just a matter of when. And I used to have these conversations with Tank, rest in peace. Tank would call me. Tank would give me random phone calls. Like, this guy should be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm right. Dude, everybody's going to get in. Unless you're suing them, unless you have heat with Vince, you're in.
Right.
If you make your peace like Bruno did, if you make your peace Ultimate Warrior did,
mm-hmm.
If you make your peace, then you're in too. You know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of when. It's just a matter of time. It's just, yeah. I'm a Booker T guy, man. I liked it when he was King. That was fantastic. When he
King,
was,
King, a Booker,
Booker. Yeah, that, and then his stuff with Austin was fantastic.
Yep.
You got a jackass in all six.
Oh, I wonder what grocery store that was.
Yeah.
How much money WWE paid him at that time?
But WWE only kept a couple of WCW wrestlers, so I mean, and they held Booker T in high regard, man.
Yeah, they did.
So yeah. I'm sad that he jobbed to Lex Luger, but it's the price you got to pay, apparently.
Hey, he did beat Goldberg clean, so.
This is true. This is true, Will. This is true.
Oh, let's go on to that next match. After a commercial break, we get the Nitro Girls to come back. Then we get our ninth match of the night. Scott Hall versus Scott Steiner with Ted DiBiase. In that match, did Steiner look old?
Well, he's slower now because he put on all that that weight, dude, that muscle. He's just I was telling Choppy this last week that he looked like so stiff and so big. Like the bigger he got, the more limited he became.
Yeah.
Birthday boys in the chat room. What's up, Nick German?
Nick German, what's up, man?
Nick German suplex. Happy birthday. Belated.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, but he did look old. How about DiBiase giving Scott Hall the shot outside the ring?
Yeah.
Dude, that was awesome. How awesome was that?
Yeah.
That was fantastic. I enjoyed that. But the match was, despite Scott Steiner looking old, the match was decent.
It was.
It went almost 11 minutes.
Yep.
So, I mean, and they had to put Scott Hall over for his match against Luger.
Yep.
At the, because he cut a promo and told Larry Zbyszko, you better, I don't care what you do, I don't care, because if you don't, you know, keep it down the middle, because remember, Larry Zbyszko had to remind Lex, too.
Right.
But he, you know, Scott Hall always got the crowd pumped. Are you here to see WCW? Or you here, you know, he would, hold on a second, he would do this. Where's my soundboard? There it is.
Hey yo!
Yeah, he would do that, and you know, get the crowd going.
Yep.
Same way he was the hype guy, same way the New Age Outlaws were for WWE at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep.
But this was a good match. Listen, Scott Hall again. I can sing his praises all day. He was one of the best big men in the biz. He probably, hands down, probably the best, quote-unquote, big man, technical big man in the business. Guy, you know, for a guy his size, to be as agile and as quick as he was a credit to him. And that's what got him the spots he was in. Between Razor Ramon and him being Scott Hall. You know, and the outsiders and stuff like that. Your take on that?
I agree with you. He just had, now, he's the opposite of what Baron Corbin is. Scott has it. He has the it factor. He had the athleticism. You saw it in that match with Scott. You saw that, have it later on with Lex. He has the athletic talent. He had everything that you needed to be in that spot, everything, no question. And the way he hyped things up, you saw it here. Are you here to see WCW or the NWO? And everybody just go crazy. So, you know, I agree with you. He had everything that should have been, that you needed to be in that spot, everything, no question.
Yeah, and Nick says he also had fantastic matches against Bret Hart. He did.
He did.
Mm-hmm. There's no. He had good matches with the X-Pac, 1-2-3 Kid. He had him and Shawn Michaels tore it up.
Yep.
You know, the ladder match and whatever, WrestleMania 10. But yeah, so happy birthday, Scott Hall. 58 years old. Looks like he's 78. The poor guy.
He was better than a lot of other big men that come to mind.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, I agree. I definitely
better than Sid by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
You know,
yeah, there's a nice comparison there.
You know, way better than Sid, and you generally like the dude. I just was always hoping that he would get his act together and you know, come back to the business some other way, shape, or form.
Well, Sid had his time. He had a couple of titles. They gave him a decent run. He was a horseman. Wasn't very well liked to most people. He had a bad attitude. And even as a bad attitude, he still got, like, profile matches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he still got WrestleMania main events and shit like that. So, Nick says, Scott Hall's brother is a police officer in a county right near where I live. Well, that makes sense because he's from... not too far from where Nick lives, so he's from that state. So
that would be... doesn't he have a son that's wrestling?
Yeah, Cody. Yeah. He was in the Bullet Club.
Okay.
He was. I think he's hurt. I think he's hurt right now. But yeah, Cody's another kid that can, you know, can be good if he just keeps working harder, you know.
Right.
Any other news and notes from episode 110 of WCW's Monday Nitro that we didn't go over that I forgot that I didn't do?
I just thought it was kind of interesting to see the little posters and the promos for Assault on Devil's Island that came out October 28th, 1997.
Did you? Carl Weathers was in that, you remember? All I kept thinking was they gave Hogan a bad. I remember telling my stepdad at the time. The next night, I remember coming home from wherever I was. I was still living at home at the time, and I remember coming home and my stepfather had it on TV, and I said, "How are you watching Apollo Creed and Hulk Hogan right now in this movie?" He's like, I have it as background noise." I'm like, "Nah, you're full of shit. You know you had to watch it." But yeah, Hogan had a bad rug. Bad wig, and Carl Weathers needed work, apparently.
That thing was a flop, man. That thing was a flop. But it is what it is. So.
Dusty Rhodes always said, if it be that way, let it be, baby. That's it.
There you go.
That's it, man. So any other news and notes from the card? Anything that peaked out to you? Anything that was... that was fun to watch again, or something that you didn't like, or
No, I just thought all the promos were just kind of interesting to see one more time. To see the promo for Hogan and Piper going into that steel cage match of Havoc, I thought that was kind of interesting, and then to see the little segues from the NWO about selling their merch. Because in this particular one, it was that new Six shirt for like $20 plus $5.95.
Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt.
I thought it was kind of interesting, too. Like I said, it was just good to go back and relive those memories again, man.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed that, and I'm glad you came on tonight. I was kind of hoping, because we already had the episodes planned, and I forgot that Choppy was not going to be here, and I was like, I don't want to not do this because we already have next week slated for Halloween Havoc, so
yeah.
I was like, oh man, it's the Halloween special, and he's not going to be here the week before. I was like, I gotta, you know. So thank you again for stepping up and coming in.
Anytime, man.
Much appreciated. Anything else you want to get into before we start wrapping this puppy up? I know it's a little early, but you know it's. It was Nitro. We didn't have like a big pay per view, but
yeah.
But anything else you want to get into? Anything else that we didn't cover? Anything? Any topics that you want to bring up? The floor is yours. Just let me know what you want to do.
I'm good to go, my friend. I am good to go.
All right, we can start wrapping this up then, I think.
Okay.
All right, let me play some music here. Since you're down in that region, I'm in an outcast kind of mood. All right, so what's going on? So let's talk about Sunday. We have Surface Show at 5. The TLC pre-show is at 7. Then the post-show after the pay-per-view. Then you guys are back after Raw. 11:15 on Monday night?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So 11:15, Sports Report. The usual characters with Will hosting. Tuesday you have... OG Kevin Gill in studio with the Wizards, followed by the rant with Double A and Tony C, and probably Double D and Surfer. Then you got Rant and Wrestling on Thursday, and then we're back on the 27th for Halloween Havoc 97. I hope everybody can join us. We're probably going to take calls that night too. You guys want to call in, hang out with us, we really appreciate that. Yeah, man, just listen to, you know, Shining Wizards Network as well. Shout out to all those guys. We're getting some new content. I'll keep you in the loop with that coming up. And go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Go to RantEMRadio.com. You want to buy a shirt, it's ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. You want to tweet me, it's at TBuckleTbacks. Will, what is your Twitter handle?
Twitter handle, W@WILLIMORG and the number 7.
That's right. Hit up Will. He's as social as we are on social media, so hit him up if you need to. I'm sure he'll give you some good content, good input. What else is going on? So support all of our friends that are not network affiliates. Shout out to all our friends that are doing their thing. Keeping it DIY, keeping it punk rock as always. I think that's it. I don't have anything else, man. I wish I had something else. I don't. I don't know. But I think that's it, man. I'm going to wrap this up. So on behalf of my tag team partner tonight, Mr. William Morgan, I am the Impact player, Mr. Philip Rea, and inviting you to letting you all know to please, 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 please take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word. Don't say the A-word. Don't say the R-word. Just be nice. Be a nice human being, man. Respect other people's boundaries. And just be a nice person, man. Kiss your mom once in a while. All right? Be kind to animals. Seriously. I am done. I am done. William, I love you very much, brother. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight.
You're welcome, my brother. Love you too, man.
And we'll be out. We'll see you guys in a couple days. And that's pretty much it. Say goodnight, Gracie.
You remember me from school? No, not really, but it kept smiling like a clown. Facial expression looking silly, and it kept asking me, what kind of car you drive? I know you paid. I know y'all got buku with holes from all them songs that y'all done made. And I replied that I've been going through the same thing that he has. True, I got more fans than the average man, but not enough loot to last me to the end of the week. I live by the beat like you live, check to check. If you don't move your feet, then I don't eat, so we like neck to neck. Yes, we done come a long way like them slim ass cigarettes from Virginia. This ain't gonna stop, so we just gonna continue. Continue.
You. Your mama and your cousin too, rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too, rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Your cousin too, rolling down the strip on the